The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The following articles are from BlackEnterprise.com. The first article is titled, Two of the 17 hostages taken by Haitian gang have reportedly been released. After over a month and virtually no updates, Christian Aid Ministries reports that two of its missionaries have been released by their kidnappers in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. According to Reuters, the Ohio-based organization made the announcement via a statement on Sunday afternoon, adding that they had not received any additional information. Christian Aid organized the trip that took the 16 American and one Canadian missionary to Haiti in October. The group, which included five children, was abducted just outside of the Haitian capital as they traveled from a neighboring town. A week after the abduction, Wilson Joseph, leader of the 400 Mawozo gang, which claimed responsibility for the kidnapping, released a video saying that he was willing to go to extreme measures to ensure that he got what he wanted. The gang has demanded a ransom of $1 million per person. Within 2 days of the kidnapping, the State Department had deployed a team, including FBI agents. We have been in regular contact with senior Haitian authorities and will continue to work with them and interagency partners, an official from the department told WLRN at the time. Some 20,000 locals have been said to have fled their homes to escape street violence as local police remains unable to bring the situation under control. In August, Doctors Without Borders was forced to permanently close its hospital in the neighborhood of Martinson, which had virtually been under siege as gangs fought for control of the area for almost 2 months. The facility was an emergency hospital which handled traumas as well as gynecological emergencies. The decision to close after 15 years also came weeks after the nonprofit had to pause its services in June when the hospital was hit by gunfire, thought it was not believed to have been a targeted act. The BBC estimates there are currently 3,000 gang members in Haiti, divided between approximately 162 gangs. The next article is titled, Rapper Darrell Brooks Wanted for Waukesha, Wisconsin Christmas Parade Tragedy. A person of interest has been identified in Sunday's Christmas Parade tragedy in Waukesha, Wisconsin, Sunday that killed five people and injured more than 40. Darrell Brooks, 39, is currently being questioned over the deadly crash by law enforcement officials, according to NBC News, but has not been charged with a crime at this point. CNN reported Brooks may have been fleeing the scene of another crime when he drove into the Waukesha parade route. According to multiple sources, the incident is not connected to the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict and wasn't an act or connected to an act of domestic or international terrorism. According to TMZ, Brooks used the rap name Math Boy Fly and made a rap video some years ago. And according to reports, the video he made featured a red SUV that appeared to be found after the parade incident. Brooks was recently released on bond stemming from a November 5th case in which he was charged with resisting or obstructing an officer, reckless endangering safety, disorderly conduct, bail jumping, and battery. Brooks was also charged last year with reckless endangerment and illegal possession of a firearm, according to court records. Witnesses described a horrific scene of people stuck or lying on the ground after a red SUV drove through a series of barricades and into a crowded parade route. The belongings of many who attended littered the streets Monday morning as authorities continue to piece together what happened and who was affected. None of the deceased have been identified yet, but five people are confirmed as deceased. Waukesha Police Chief Danielle P. Thompson said it was working with the Waukesha County Medical Examiner's Office to identify victims. While authorities have not released the name of the deceased, the Milwaukee Dancing Grannies, a choreographed dance pom-pom parade group, said several of its members were victims. Our group was doing what they loved, performing in front of crowds in a parade, putting smiles on faces of all ages, filling them with joy and happiness, the group posted on its Facebook page. Those who died were extremely passionate grannies. This article was from November 22nd, 2021. The next article is titled, Manhattan U.S. Attorney Damian Williams Forms New Civil Rights Unit. Citing a new rise in hate attacks, new U.S. District Attorney for the Southern District of New York, SDNY, Damian Williams has created a civil rights unit in the office's Criminal Division. Williams, the first black man to hold the post in its 232-year history, believes a reconsideration of the way the justice system confronts issues of race and discrimination is necessary. He added that creating a civil rights unit within the office's Criminal Division would make us more effective. White supremacist groups are on the march, Williams said during the announcement Friday. Anti-Semitism is on the march. Anti-Asian violence is on the march. Abuse of the most vulnerable in our society is on the march. The SDNY has had some high-profile wins in recent years, including the conviction of a Rikers Island corrections officer who fatally beat an inmate while other guards held him down. However, the office's civil rights work has typically been handled by lawsuits rather than criminal prosecutions. One example is in 2014, when the SDNY investigated New York City due to widespread civil rights violations in the treatment of teen inmates at Rikers Island. Williams said additional priorities for the SDNY would include gun violence, financial crimes, and reconnecting with the communities the office serves. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland made an appearance at the announcement of the new Civil Rights Division, noting prosecutors are confronting a wide range of crimes, including white-collar, financial, and domestic terrorism. Those threats, if left unanswered, will also undermine our democratic and economic institutions, as well as our citizens' support for the rule of law, Garland said. The SDNY has handled some of the country's biggest cases, but the office has also seen its fair amount of turmoil, especially during Donald Trump's presidency. Two of the SDNY's top four prosecutors were fired in Trump's Attorney General William Barr was accused of interfering with several of its cases. The next article is titled, Tamir Rice's mother, Samira Rice, says U.S. needs to be overthrown following the Rittenhouse verdict. Samira Rice, whose son, Tamir Rice, was killed by a Cleveland cop in 2014 over a toy gun, said the U.S. needs to be overthrown following the not guilty verdict for Kyle Rittenhouse. Rice shared her thoughts on the Rittenhouse verdict during an interview with TMZ. The teen was found not guilty on 5 counts last Friday, despite killing 2 people and severely injuring a 3rd during a BLM protest of Jacob Blake, who was shot by police. Rittenhouse was found not guilty of first-degree reckless homicide, first-degree intentional homicide, attempted first-degree intentional homicide, and first-degree recklessly endangering safety Friday in a highly publicized case. Rice, like many, took issue with the obvious racial differences between Rittenhouse, a 17-year-old teen who crossed state lines with a gun and used it with the scores of black men, women, and children in the U.S. who have been killed by police or who have spent decades in prison for significantly less. I am very annoyed about how a minor, a white little boy, is not in jail for the murder of other people. And that's just not right, Rice said. That's not right. And his mother should go to jail, too. Because why would you give him a gun if he is a minor? That's just not how you're supposed to raise your children in this country. You are not supposed to just give him a gun to go to a protest, right? So you knew he was going to a protest. What did you think he was going to do? Rice continued, adding Rittenhouse wasn't helping out police, but rather killed innocent people, which she said he should be in jail for. I am really confused, but I also understand that it was designed this way. And at this point, we are at the mercy of God. And at the end of the day, this country needs to be overthrown, Rice said. This is pitiful. And where in this country have we seen someone pick their own jury? When I seen that, I was like, is we still on planet Earth? We have never seen it in a judicial system, even with all the mass murderers and everything that has happened in this country for decades and decades. The case was also marked by several moves by Judge Bruce Schroeder, who wouldn't allow prosecutors to use the word victim, but allowed the defense to use the word looters. Schroeder also allowed Rittenhouse to pick the names of the final 12 jurors who would decide his fate. The next article is titled, Groveland 4, Black Men Accused of Rape of White Woman in 1949 Exonerated. It took 7 decades, but a Lake County Circuit Court judge cleared charges for the 4 black men known as the Groveland 4 and exonerated them on Monday. The men, Charles Greenlee, Walter Irvin, Samuel Shepard, and Ernest Thomas, were failed by the justice system. Thomas was shot and killed by an angry white mob before he could be arrested, and Shepard and Irvin were shot and killed by Lake County Sheriff Willis McCall. Last month, local prosecutor Bill Gladson set the move in motion when he filed motions to toss Thomas's and Shepard's indictments and set aside Greenlee and Irvin's sentences and judgments. We followed the evidence to see where it led us, and it led us to this moment, Gladson said at a news conference, according to NBC News. Among those who traveled to the Sunshine State to see the judge's decision was the son of Thurgood Marshall, who represented the Groveland Four. There are countless people we need to remember who suffered similar fates, who have been lost to history, Marshall Jr. said at a news conference. Perhaps of all the cases my father worked on, this one haunted him for many, many years, and he believed there were better days ahead. The case of the Groveland Four is a disturbing example of the racial injustice that has plagued Black Americans since the end of slavery. According to ABC News, Gladson argued in his motion that the state never tested Irvin's pants for semen, which they were able to do at the time. Instead, the prosecution left the jury with the impression that Irvin's pants included evidence of the rape. Additionally, the qualifications of the prosecution's top witness are also in doubt. In the second trial, one of the defense witnesses stated that authorities made one of the cast intentionally tie Irvin to the scene. Gladson also noted an email from the grandson of the state attorney, Jesse Hunter, who prosecuted the Groveland Four, saying Hunter and trial judge Truman Pooch knew the Groveland Four were innocent. Green Lee was sentenced to life due to a recommendation of mercy from the jury. Shepard and Irvin were sentenced to death but appealed. In 1951, the U.S. Supreme Court vacated their convictions and ordered a new trial for each. However, Lake County Sheriff Willis McCall, who was transferring Shepard and Irvin, shot both men, killing Shepard and injuring Irvin. Irvin was retried, convicted, and sentenced to death again, but the sentence was later commuted to life in prison. Meanwhile, McCall, who claimed self-defense, was never indicted. In 2019, Governor Ron DeSantis granted pardons to the men. The next article is titled, White Kansas City Detective Convicted in Fatal 2019 Shooting of Cameron Lamb. A Missouri judge convicted a white former Kansas City detective of involuntary manslaughter and armed criminal action in the fatal shooting of Cameron Lamb. With the conviction, former officer Eric became the first law enforcement officer in Kansas City to be convicted for the fatal shooting of a Black man, according to KCUR. Lamb, a 26-year-old father of three, was shot four times while backing his pickup into his garage on December 3, 2019. Jackson County Judge Dale Youngs issued a bench ruling without a jury, saying he had no probable cause, no warrants, and no consent to enter Lamb's property. Youngs ruled the officers initiated the aggression and had no right to use deadly force. However, Youngs didn't address the prosecution's allegation that the officers planted evidence to say Lamb was the aggressor. On December 3, 2019, Lamb argued with his girlfriend and the incident turned physical. Eventually, Lamb left the residence and received a call from his roommate to return home. Meanwhile, police were investigating a crash in the area and reported Lamb's red pickup chasing a purple Mustang. A police helicopter spotted Lamb's pickup and followed it to the residence. The police officer and his partner, Troy, both violent offender plainclothes unit members, responded to the call. According to the prosecutors and Roberta Merritt, Lamb's girlfriend, the men never identified themselves, did not ask permission to walk onto the property, and did not have a warrant. Prosecutors added there was no evidence showing a crime had taken place, nor was anyone in danger when the officers arrived. They also alleged the two officers planted evidence to support their story of what happened. Another officer who was the first to arrive at the scene after the shooting, testified that he didn't see a gun below Lamb's left arm. However, a weapon was in police photographs. The officer testified Lamb had his left hand on the steering wheel and was holding his cell phone in the other hand. And after instructing Lamb to turn off the engine and get out, the officer screamed out, "He's got a gun." The officer initially told investigators Lamb did not have a gun, but according to the Kansas City Star, he changed his story in court, saying, "I was involved with someone who tried to kill me." The officer fired 4 shots into Lamb's chest and torso. The shooting took place 9 seconds after the officers arrived on the scene. The 20-year veteran faces up to 4 years in prison and is free on bond until sentencing. The incident came months before George Floyd was killed by Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, which kicked off the 2020 Black Lives Matter movement. The next article is titled, "Jeff Bezos Honors John Lewis with $100 million donation to Obama Foundation." Amazon founder Jeff Bezos has pledged $100 million to the Obama Foundation to honor late Georgia congressman and civil rights hero John Lewis, the foundation announced Monday. According to USA Today, the contribution is the largest single donation given to the foundation in its 7-year history. Along with his gift, Bezos has requested that the plaza of the Obama Presidential Center, set to be built on the south side of Chicago, be named the John Lewis Plaza. "Freedom fighters deserve a special place, and I can't think of a more fitting person to honor with this gift than John Lewis, a great American leader and a man of extraordinary decency and courage," Bezos said in a statement. "I am thrilled to support President and Mrs. Obama and their foundation in its mission to train and inspire tomorrow's leaders." The Obama Presidential Center, the primary initiative of the Obama Foundation, has a mission that is in direct alignment with John Lewis's legacy. Once completed, the institution aims to take its place at the forefront of development of future civic leaders. "We believe that there is incredible power in lifting up the names of extraordinary change agents upon whose shoulders we all stand. And we are thrilled by Mr. Bezos' offer to name our magnificent plaza in honor of John Lewis," said Valerie Jarrett, CEO of the foundation. "What's more, Mr. Bezos' generous, unrestricted gift will enable us to help train a new generation of leaders through programs including the Girls Opportunity Alliance, My Brother's Keeper, and our Global Leaders Program, while also supporting the foundation's Hometown Fund, which invests in the expansion of economic development opportunities for residents of Chicago's South Side." The foundation added in a press release that the gift from Bezos also sets the precedent for allowing donors to choose to name public spaces at the center as a tribute to those who have fought for a more just and equitable world. This is the 3rd multi-million-dollar donation Bezos has announced in the past 7 days. Last week, he announced a gift of $96.2 million to be distributed to 32 organizations serving families experiencing homelessness. The billionaire also pledged $166 million to NYU's Medical Center on Monday. The next article is titled, "After Her Father Was Convicted of Rape, Carol Greenlee Fought for Decades to Clear His Name." Carol Greenlee, the daughter of one of the Groveland 4 couldn't hold back tears when a Florida judge exonerated the convicted men in a 1949 rape. The families of the four men have been fighting for decades to get their names cleared. Greenlee, the daughter of Charles Greenlee, who was sentenced to life, said her father's exoneration had cleared a dark cloud that had been following her for 72 years. All my life, I've been waiting to hear those words, restore presumption of innocence, she told reporters after the announcement. Even a casual review of the record reveals that these four men were deprived of the fundamental due process rights that are afforded to all Americans. Gladson wrote in a motion heard in court Monday morning, according to ABC News. The evidence strongly suggests that a sheriff, a judge, and prosecutor all but guaranteed guilty verdicts in this case. Following the hearing, Gladson addressed reporters with the family members of the Groveland Four. Greenlee, 72, who was born a few months before her father was wrongfully imprisoned, was the first to speak and thanked everyone who helped her in the fight to clear her father and his friends' names. This is a day that God has made, she told reporters as she wiped away tears of joy. Charles Greenlee was 16 when he was sentenced to life in prison due to a recommendation of mercy from the jury in the case. He didn't appeal the conviction, but was released in 1960 and passed away in 2012. Greenlee told ABC she visited her dad until she was 3 when her father asked her mom not to bring her to visit him anymore because it was too hard. While in prison, the wrongfully accused man continued to send letters and other gifts to his daughter. Carol Greenlee said it took years to understand the story of the Groveland Four, and she felt like her dad rejected her when he said she didn't want her to visit him anymore. It wasn't until the age of 40 when she finally asked him what happened. Shepard and Irvin were sentenced to death but appealed. In 1951, the U.S. Supreme Court vacated their convictions and ordered a new trial for each. However, Lake County Sheriff Willis McCall, who was transferring Shepard and Irvin, shot both men, killing Shepard and injuring Irvin. Irvin was retried, convicted, and sentenced to death again, but the sentence was later commuted to life in prison. Thomas fled in July 1949, but was shot more than 400 times by a sheriff's posse that caught up with him. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis granted pardons to the four men, Charles Greenlee, Ernest Thomas, Samuel Shepard, and Walter Irvin, in 2019. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.